I hope it did. It's an encouragement. Can I grab that light? Thank you. One thing that stands out in Myra's story is before she came to Christ, she was living for herself, really. She was living for success. She was living for money and comfort. But when she came to know Christ, she came to really have true joy. You know, I liked her statement where toward the end there she said, "Nothing satisfies but knowing God. I want to spend the rest of my life seeking Him." Myra was able to accomplish and experience something that many women never do, to be financially independent in a sense and successful and have everything the world would say, this is what you want to strive for, this is what you want to have. And yet, Myra was not fulfilled completely. In this session, I want us to talk about living for more. We've looked at our identity, who we are as women, who we were created to be. What were we created to be? What is our identity? Image bearers of God. What a privilege, yeah. And then we saw in the last session our assignment. What's our assignment? Helpers. Is that just a lame, do-nothing job? Okay, are you a little bit more excited about being a helper now than you were before you got here today? I hope so. I hope you're inspired to really live out what that is. And then in this session, I want us to see what we really were designed for, what our design is. And before we go to that in Scripture, let me just start out with an illustration to help us understand our design, okay? How many of you have a garage maybe attached to your house for your car to park in, all right? Garages are nice things, aren't they? They are designed to house what? Exactly. And I mean, I have seen some, yeah, I know, I'm reading what's going on here. You know where I'm going. And I have seen some beautiful vehicles since I've been here. I mean, I've been amazed at you have a lot of nice vehicles here, very expensive. And you want to take that valuable item and you want to protect it, don't you? You want to put it in that garage where it's not out in the elements. It's not in danger of someone, you know, throwing something at it or it getting hit or harmed in any way. You want to put it in what it was designed for in that garage, don't you? But how many of you is your garage is so filled with junk? Maybe garage sale items left over, maybe boxed up baby clothes that you need to give away to a friend, maybe, I don't know, stacks of old magazines. I don't know. How many of you is your garage so filled with junk that you can't even drive your car in and park it? Yeah, and you don't have to confess here, but Maybe that's been the case at one time and not now, but isn't it funny that we'll put the priority on all of that junk, and yet the very important item, the more valuable thing, the car, is left out in the elements. And so we're showing that our priority actually is for the, you know, 50-cent magazines that are stacked up in there, or the things that need to go to Goodwill, the junk. And so many times I think we lose sight of what our identity is, what our assignment is, and what we were designed to be as women. And we are putting the priority on the less valuable things. And you know, that's what Myra was doing. She was putting her priority on her job, on her success, on excelling in the world system. And in the beginning, she didn't even know God. But even after she came to know God, there was still that struggle in their marriage relationship and that tension. because she really hadn't tapped into yet what God created her to be, designed her to be, like the garage is designed to house your valuable vehicle. Let's see what we are designed to be in Genesis chapter 3. Let's go back to Genesis again. And it's just a little phrase here, one little word that I want us to begin with to see the true woman's design. Genesis 3:20. The man called his wife's name Eve because she was the mother of all living. The true woman's design is life giver, life giver. Now, the word Eve even sounds like the Hebrew word for life giver. You know, there's so much today that is focused on removing all gender distinctions. We're just moving toward this vanilla society, where unisex society, where there's no distinctions, no differences. We dress alike, we act alike, we look alike. But I don't care how much culture tries to remove gender distinctions. One thing they can't change: we still are the gender with the womb. We are the ones who can bear and give life. But I'm not talking so much about physically giving birth, because there are some women, like my friend Natalie. You know, Natalie's a true woman, but she has struggled with years for infertility. She loves God. She's married. She's applying herself well in her medical field. But she has no children. Does that make her less of a true woman? Is she not living out her identity? No. No. When I say our design is life givers, to be life givers, I want us to think of that more along the lines of that we can be life givers spiritually. Spiritually. And I believe God designed us really to be life givers emotionally. Physically, yes, our anatomy is designed that way, but especially spiritually. So I want to ask you today to consider, what are you really living for? When I challenge you to live for more, I mean more than what this world system is offering, more than being the CEO of a health club, or more than being the best worker at your job. But living for more, I mean living all out, whatever you do, whether you're in a vocation, whether you're a mother, whether you're single, living all out for eternal things. The eternal things are what has value and significance. So many times, like that garage, we're filling our life up with a lot of meaningless junk, and there's no time left over to live for the more valuable, the eternal and significant things. And I want us to see really how to be a life giver by checking out one of the, I think, basic passages in New Testament scripture on biblical womanhood. So let's turn to Titus chapter 2. And you may have gone through this many times. You may have it memorized. But I want us to spend some time in it today and pray that God will open our hearts. Maybe we will see something new or something that needs to be applied to our life. Titus chapter 2. And we're going to start here in verse 3. Older women, likewise. Now, the reason he says likewise is he's referring back to instructions he's given to men. Okay, older women. Let's stop right there. Older women. I can't believe it. I keep being referred to as Mrs. Wagner. And I realize, you know, I am in this category. I am an older woman now. You know, I've reached it. For years, I was the young, you know, when I married my husband at 21, I was one of the youngest women in the church, and I was the pastor's wife. But I've reached the older women stage. But and specifically, Paul was referring to women who chronologically in age were older. But you know what? They're also, you are an older woman to someone else. If you're a 20-something, you're an older woman to the teenage girls that are looking to you as a role model. If you're a teenage girl, you are an older young woman to little ones who are coming alongside, and they are looking at the choices you're making, and that is helping them to determine whether they want to model their lives after you. And they are looking up at you. And so you have a responsibility for the choices you make. So older women are specifically being talked to, spoken to here and instructed in what they're to do. But I want you to consider, are you an older woman to someone else in your life? Older women, likewise, are to be reverent in their behavior. And I'm going to come back and we're going to pull this apart, but let's read through it first. Reverent in their behavior, not malicious gossips, nor enslaved to wine, teaching what is good, so that they may encourage the younger women to love their husbands, to love their children, to be sensible, pure, workers at home, kind, being subject to their own husbands. Let me pray, and then we'll pull that apart. Father, I do thank you so much for the women in this room. Scattered throughout this room, there are young women and women of all ages and seasons of life. There are women who are raising little ones right now. There are single women, and there are women who are in the later season of their lives. And so I just ask that you would take this text and apply it to us wherever we are, wherever you find us, and you would use your word to open our eyes to where we are now and where you desire for us to be. Let your word be a mirror that searches out our hearts and minds, our motives and intentions, and reveal to us what you desire to do. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so likewise, older women are to be reverent. When you hear that word or when you read that, do you picture an old woman with her arms crossed and she will not smile? She will not have fun. She has a pious look. And you're a little bit terrorized to get around her. She is reverent. That is really not what that word is to cause us to picture and see. It's a word that means to really be worship-hearted toward God. To be in awe of who he is. To be worship-minded throughout your daily activity. To be God-centered in your thoughts, in your mind. That is reverent. And because you're God-centered, it affects your decisions and the choices you make. And then not malicious gossips. And this is just really a no-brainer for us, you know. There shouldn't be a hint of gossip among Christian sisters. And yet, so much of the word is focused on instruction in teaching, in what we say, and how our tongue affects others, and how destructive we can be with our tongue. You know, malicious gossips or slander, even that word slander is the Greek word diabolos, that means devil. When we are involved in speaking words that brings division and places others in a negative light that is harmful to others, we are doing the devil's work and his activity. We cannot be right with God if our tongues are used in that way. And yet, a life giver is to use her tongue in a way to bring life to others. Keep your place there in Titus 2. We're going to come back to it. But I think it's so important for you to get this verse in Ephesians 4. Turn to Ephesians 4:29. And this is a verse that I hope you will strive to apply to your life and live out as a life giver, be a life giver in communication and how you speak to others. Ephesians 4:29 says, "Let no unwholesome communication, no corrupting talk, come out of your mouth, but only such as is good for building up, for the need of the moment, encouraging, giving grace to the listener." So that's life-giving words. That's the kind of communication that's to come out of our mouth. Proverbs 10:11 talks about the mouth of the righteous is a fountain of life. So ladies, rather than being a malicious gossip, rather than being giving out words of death, are you giving out life-giving words to your children? Or do they just hear no, no, no all the time? Do they feel demeaned and belittled by the words and communication that's coming out of your mouth? Or are you encouraging them? Are you helping them to see a vision of what God wants to do in their lives? What about your teen daughter? Are you being a life giver to her by taking her? I don't know if you have Sonic down here, but that's one of the spots we like to go is take your teen daughter to Sonic and just sit in the car with her and listen to her. Let her share her heart with you, and you give out life-giving words to her. Are you being a life giver in your communication? And then let's go back to Titus 2. So we're to be worship-hearted in our behavior, not malicious gossips, be life-giving in our words, not enslaved to wine. I see today so many women that are just, by an enormous amount, addicted to prescription drugs. And they're given a prescription so easily, and they're depending on that for their relief, for their emotional stability, rather than walking through the challenges and difficulties God has for them and seeking Him to be their help, to be their sustaining grace. Now, I'm not saying that there's never a need for medical help, but I'm challenging you, what are you looking to? What are you depending on to be your help in time of need? Who are you looking to? Rather than being addicted to alcohol, drugs, pornography, like a friend of mine struggles with cutting. I mean, that's a very common thing today. And looking to that as a form of relief. And so the Apostle Paul is instructing the older women, you train the younger women in how they can overcome these things. So older women, are you being a life giver to those who are coming along behind you? Those of you who have more life experience and more knowledge of the Word and experience in walking with God, are you being a life giver for those around you who are struggling with these kind of addictions? Are you helping them to know how they can have victory in Christ? Are you being a life giver to those? And then teaching what is good. Teaching what is good. Are you being a life giver by teaching what is good to younger sisters? Now, teaching what is good, it can mean standing up here and giving the Word of God out. That's teaching what is good. But it can also mean bringing a group of young moms to your house and just talking to them about practical ways, things you've done in raising your children that would be helpful to them. Helping a new bride with some new recipes and learning how to cook. It can be helping a young mom learn how to nurse her baby. There's a lot of good things that we need to be passing on to the younger generation. And along with that, is life-giving truth that we can share as we're just interacting with them with practical help. So are you being a life giver by teaching good things? So that they may encourage the young women to love their husbands. Are you encouraging those around you to be faithful in their marriage, to love their husbands? Or when your girlfriend calls you on the phone and she starts dissing her husband, are you right in there with her and saying, yeah, you're right. He is not worth it. Don't stick around. Bail out. You know, I have a friend who's single, never been married, and she would be in this older season of life, but she faithfully hands out what Reviver Hearts, a resource they have that's called the 30-Day Husband Encouragement Challenge. Now, this is quite a challenge. What it is you challenge someone to, for 30 days, go without saying anything negative to your husband or about your husband to someone else. 30 days. I don't know how many friends I've had that have told me, I've done that over and over. I can't get through the first week, and then I have to start over with day one. I can't get through that. And but then not only don't say anything negative, but say something positive to your husband, something encouraging to them, affirm them, one thing every day for 30 days, and one thing about them to others every day for 30 days. And I've had women say, well, I can only think of just like one thing. And I said, well, say that one thing over and over again every day for 30 days. You know, I encourage you to look that up online at reviveourhearts.com, to look up that resource, the 30-Day Husband Encouragement Challenge. But are you, as an older woman, older in the faith maybe, are you encouraging the younger women? Are you being a life giver to them by encouraging them to love their husbands, to love their children? You know, I have just met some precious children here running around since I've been here. I love that you have your children here with you, that you didn't leave them with babysitter. And some of you may have to do that at times, but I just encourage you to be a life giver to your children and to come alongside young moms and help them in knowing how to love their children. You may need to be a life giver to a young couple that's struggling by you taking on the role of being a babysitter for them so they can go out and have a date night together. That may be how you need to be a life giver. And then also, the next thing in this list here in Titus 2 is to be sensible. Older women are to be training the younger women to be sensible. Now, I don't know what it's translated like in your Bible, but the Greek word there is sophron. And this word is filled with meaning. Sophron means soundness in the sense of a mental and emotional stability. It is God-defined balance. God-defined balance, where your emotions are not pushing you to and fro. Do you react based on what's happening, the circumstances, and your emotions are causing you and pushing and pulling you, and you react based on your emotions? Or are you sound, in a sound state where you are living in God-defined balance, and you're not being blown about by every emotion, but you are reacting centered in God's purposes and in His peace, and that's, you're reacting in a sophron manner. And then pure. Are you encouraging the younger women to be pure? Are you letting them know that there is such a promise in Matthew 5:8 that says, the pure in heart shall see God? Oh, what a promise. Are you encouraging them to hunger and thirst after righteousness and not seeing purity as something that is old-fashioned or oppressive, that purity is a doorway to intimacy with Christ? And there's no greater joy than that, than having that intimate love relationship with Christ. So purity. And then workers at home. Now, when we read that workers at home, you may picture in your mind, okay, constant vacuuming on your knees, scrubbing the kitchen floor, you know, repeatedly, and preparing a Martha Stewart home. You know, I think we are to, have homes that are orderly and if we can, beautiful, that is appealing to our family and is a restful place. But I think primarily this is meaning that our home, we need to be home-oriented in that our home can be the place from which that we do ministry, that we practice hospitality, that we invite people in to hear the gospel, that our home is a restful and enjoyable place for our family, that our children love coming to our home. And then not only workers at home, but this is a biggie. Kind. You know, kindness is a fruit of the Spirit. Do people, when they say your name, is the first characteristic that comes to mind, she's so kind? You know, what is so grievous to me is it seems to be rare today to find individuals who practice kindness, who are gracious and winsome. And it seems like we go to one of two extremes. We can boldly and bluntly give out truth in a harsh manner, but there's no kindness. Or we don't give out truth, and we may be syrupy, sweet, and sentimental, but there's no real genuine kindness to it, because kindness will be that perfect balance of grace and truth. So are you kind? And then being subject to their own husbands. And that's talking about coming under the submission of Christ primarily, and the direction he's given us in Ephesians 5, that wives are to be submissive to their husbands as Christ is the picture, or the husband is the picture of Christ, and Christ, as he loves the church and is head over the church, then we as wives are to respond in the same way to our husbands in submitting to their headship. So we're to be life givers, and our mission is this, as life givers. God said in Numbers 14:21, "As I live, the whole earth will be filled with the glory of the Lord." So as life givers, he's given us the mission to glorify him in every aspect of being a life giver. And we see that here in Titus chapter 2. Let's finish out verse 5 here. We've seen that we're to train younger women to be kind, to be pure, to love their husbands, to love their children, to do all of these things. Why? Why? So that, and like you heard me say in the video earlier today, so that the word of God will not be blasphemed. So that the word of God will not be dishonored. What does that mean? How do we dishonor the word of God? That means if you profess to know Christ, if you profess to have come to God, come to knowledge of God, come to a life-changing state with God, and yet you criticize your husband, you demean him, you belittle him, you are harsh and reactive in your relationships with others, You are critical. You are unkind. You are gossiping. Then those who are watching you will say, there must not be any power in the Word of God or in that God that she serves. It causes them to revile, to mock the Word of God. Ladies, we should be those image bearers I talked about last night, that we so beautifully represent what God is like to our children, to our husbands, to others around us, that they thirst for God. They want to know what He's like. They want to know Him personally because they're seeing glimpses of Him in you. And they're drawn to God through you. But when we're not doing that, the Word of God is reviled by the watching world. It's blasphemed. Now, you may say, you know, what can I do? How can I be a part of this mission of filling the earth with God's glory? How can I do what you're talking about and others see God in me? You know, there are so many opportunities for us. And I'm not talking about being busier with more activities, because I think one of the problems today in us not being able to be life givers is that our time and energy is spent on so many things. And I think our time and energy is being spent on things like the junk that's in the garage, while the more valuable things, the relationships with our children or our mates, our families, is left out to the elements. It's just left out. There's no time or energy left over for you to be able to take your daughter to Sonic or to Starbucks or to sit on her bed at night and say, what's happening with you? How are things going? To take the time to listen to those around you, because our time and energy is just taken. But then some of you have reached a season of life where you're filling up your time, because you do have more time, with a lot of activity, but is it activity that's really being used to reach the world with the gospel? Is it really being used for God's glory? I am so excited about a new aspect of the ministry of Revive Our Hearts that is going out to the Latin American women and to countries. And there are some of you in this room that are involved in that ministry. Dear sweet lady, would you raise your hand? And just if you want to ask her more about it, maybe during the break or lunch, she's involved in this ministry. And I want to show you a little video clip about it. You might consider this is a way that you could be a life giver to Spanish-speaking women. Are you familiar with the Revive Our Hearts daily radio program? Are any of you familiar with that? Okay, how many of you listen to that? Awesome. Did you know that it's now being translated into Spanish? Are you telling your Spanish friends about that? Are you sending them links to that? I hope you are. And there's opportunity for you to be involved in praying for that ministry and possibly being involved in some way in the translation or supporting that ministry, telling others about it. And we might get to see a clip about it.
Translating Nancy Lee DeMoss's materials into Spanish.
It was so strong in me that I just kept thinking, we need to bring her, we need to put her in Spanish. I want Spanish-speaking women to listen to this.
After much prayer, the Revive Our Hearts team gave Patricia and her friend Laura De Chavez the go-ahead to start broadcasting Revive Our Hearts 2 days a week in Santo Domingo. In 2011, Aviva Nuestros Corazones was launched. It soon began to affect Dominican women in profound ways.
I had no idea about God's design the biblical God's design for a woman.
I bought a small radio so I could carry it in my bag everywhere I can go, so I could listen Revive Our Hearts more often.
A revival started to happen in my house.
I am part of the team that is translating the Revive Our Hearts radio program into Spanish. As I translate Nancy's teaching, I am growing so much. I sometimes have to stop the translation to cry and pray.
This small project began to grow when an international ministry began distributing the program on their satellite. Patricia began hearing from women outside the Dominican Republic.
Chile, Argentina, Peru, Guatemala, Ecuador, Colombia, Panama, Mexico, even in Spain, in Barcelona. They have downloaded the program from the satellite and are listening to it in Spanish.
For a long time, Laura and Patricia had been asking the Lord to bring a Revive Our Hearts conference to the Dominican Republic. And in February of 2012, those prayers were answered.
Bienvenidas a la primera conferencia internacional de Aviva Nuestros Corazones.
I was excited because it was a dream come true.
It was actually in my country, and it was happening. More than 3,000 women were there being impacted with the Word of God and the correct message about womanhood.
To watch the audience from the platform was amazing and encouraging, because I could tell as soon as we started that the women had connected with the Word. Those white hankies, they were waving them all the time.
God has made a provision for our problem.
Dios ha hecho provisión para nuestros
problemas. He has made a provision for your thirsty hearts.
Él ha hecho provisión para tu corazón
sediento. I see some white flags
there. Yo veo algunos pañuelitos, unas banderas blancas.
Do you want God's provision?
¿Quieren la provisión de Dios? ¿Quiénes quieren la provisión de Dios?
You ready for the good news?
¿Están listas para las buenas noticias?
Many women came to saving faith in Jesus Christ during this conference, and hundreds of others were challenged in areas of forgiveness, brokenness, and surrender. It was just a taste of what we believe God is going to do with this growing ministry. The team is getting ready to launch Revive Our Hearts in Spanish 5 days a week and distribute it throughout Latin America. We're asking God to continue providing all that's needed to help Spanish-speaking women discover, embrace, and delight in Christ.
And I believe God is going to do something bigger than what we are expecting or hoping, because I see God's hand in this. We believe in a great God, and a great God does great things.
And Victor, do you have the website, the web address? Can you show that to the ladies as well? You know, this was a vision for something, living for something bigger. And God is using this across the globe now. I'm trusting you. I'm waiting on you. And we are so excited about how God has taken what was a hope and a prayer for some women, and he has just stepped into that and has created this great ministry. There's the Facebook page that you can go and check that out. Viva Nuestros Corazón. And so you can get all of the posts in Spanish. So I hope you will, if you haven't already, check this out and pass it on to your friends. And the other one, does the other link tell you, you can listen to it from online, the radio programs in Spanish as they're coming now from the Dominican Republic. Right there. Last one down here, the very last one right here. Yeah, yeah. So you can go online and listen to the programs. But I want to encourage you to check out those resources that are in Spanish. And that's this vision was birthed, and these women are living for something more by being involved in spreading the gospel across the world. You may be sitting here thinking, well, what can I do? How can I live for more? Start asking God, what does he want? How does he want to use you as a life giver? Immediately in those in directly in your life, but also across the globe, God may be raising you up to be used in a way to spread his truth, to spread his glory. There are some of you here that are going through this, the True Woman 101 study right now. I also want to mention that that may be something that you as individuals would want to do, or a group. And I just was excited to hear, this is also one of the resources from Revive Our Hearts, and it really goes through and in detail, in depth, teaches on the biblical gender roles. And the ladies here that have shared with me that they've been through this, or they're in the midst of going through it, have told me how their eyes have been opened to so many things. And I asked Isis, if would you mind just sharing a little testimony of what God's done in your life through this study? It's okay. I told her it's okay to cry. I told her I usually do. And he's coming with a mic for you, so that'll give you a little bit of time. This is, there was a resource sheet in the sheet that you were handed that has several resources that we recommend, and this is one of them. You can also go online to truewoman101.com and pull up the videos that go along with the teaching and find out how to order that. But go ahead.
Here I go. He's taking the blinders off my eyes.
Every time she says that, she starts crying. That's all good. We're going to wait for you. It's okay. That's how I felt all weekend.
I believe the lies that this world was teaching, that I had to prepare myself in case my husband failed me. And the day that he did fail me, that was the day the Lord started building me up.
You started finding your identity and who you are in him.
He had to bring down my husband from the pedestal so that I could focus on him. It's been very painful. But it's been amazing at the same time because I'm a different person. Little over 5 years now, I've had my sisters from my church who have been by my side, teaching me truth, encouraging me to read the word, and just to really know what God wants for my life. I wanted the career at first. I wanted the nice house, the nice furniture. I still struggle with that at times. but I look back now, I'm a stay-at-home mom. I homeschool, which I never thought. If you know me, it's weird. but I wouldn't have it any other way. Because I know that I am glorifying God, and I'm being used for his glory. I didn't know how I was going to be used while I was homeschooling, but I've been able to love on my neighbors in my own community. I have more time for my sisters, and it's awesome. If you guys haven't done the study, get the books. It's awesome. It's eye-opening.
And you know what I love too? It's not saying that there's not a cookie cutter checklist way that you have to fit in this box to be a true woman. But it is discovering God's plan for you and what his word says and being able to apply his word to what he's doing in your life in order to live out that plan he has for you too.
We'll all be different. I'm sorry that I interrupted. No. All our plan is different. My life won't look the same as it will for you, but if it's aligned with God's will, it's going to be amazing.
Yeah, yeah. Two, do what I said our mission is earlier in this session, what Numbers 14:21 says, to fill the earth with God's glory. That he's doing that work in you, and he's filling the earth with God's glory through you. You are being a life giver and living for more than just what this world offers when you get in on what he has for you. Thank you so much for sharing.
I'm sorry. It's a struggle for me to speak in public.
Well, and
I'm working on it.
Well, and I hope before Victor takes the mic, okay. Luna or some others that have been through this, I would love to hear how God's using it.
I went through a lot, too. I kind of went through a story a little bit similar to hers, where I was left by my ex-husband. It was really hard. I learned that through God I can be, I'm loved. I don't need anything else. Through him, I'm special. And, you know, in this true womanhood study that we did, I found out also, you know, throughout my life, I think I was verbally abused by my dad. And, you know, he told me many times I wasn't going to be anybody, and I am. I'm special.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a daughter of God. That's a huge thing. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I can carry on that to my new marriage. I'm getting married next month to a godly man.
Praise the Lord.
Is also, you know, helping me be who I am, and I know God put him in my life for a reason. And, you know, this whole study thing is definitely something that I say, you know, people should go through it.
Yeah.
We are somebody here, you know, we're not just women, independent women that don't need anything. We need God.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's it.
Did you hear what she said? And that was such a good statement. We try to be, or the world will tell us to be independent women, but we are not really able to be independent women because we need God. We are made to need God. And that's why women are frustrated and struggling when they're living for something else. And when they are living independently, separate from God. Thank you. Thank you for sharing.
Yeah.
And pray your marriage will just be blessed, and you will grow more and more in your love relationship with one another, and in your love relationship with God. There's even been, I heard a husband recently, a couple that went through this together, even though it's a women's study. Yeah, and the man said, you know, she just kept talking about all this stuff she was learning, so I decided, well, I'll do this with her. And he said, I have learned so much about my role and my responsibility, and it's helped me to understand her better. So, you know, this is something that maybe even couples could go through together. You know, you might want to just share with your husband, not in a preachy way, but in a winsome way and gracious manner, say, can I share with you some of what I'm learning? And, so, any other testimonies of this?
The teaching and our fellowshipping together during this class was amazing because I grew up in a household where my mom was very independent and there was no man at the house, so I never knew what it was to take my role as a female and it being okay rather than, you know, I have to be in control and it should be the way I want it to be regardless. Mm-hmm. So this workbook really taught me that I have to give my husband the role that he is supposed to have and not me being in control of everything. And I do appreciate the time that we all spent together. We learned so much from it.
Mm-hmm.
And from the skits that we saw, they were amazing and they taught us so much. So I do encourage everyone that hasn't been able to take a part of it, buy the book on your own and look at it and review the skits. Everything's online, week one, week two, all the way through week eight. And it's an amazing, amazing learning role.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you. You know, I love digging into God's truth and having him open my eyes to new things that I need to see. And you may... you may have been walking with the Lord a long time, but because His Word is living and sharper than any two-edged sword, it's able to divide and seek out and allow you to see and know your motives and intentions of your heart. Because of that, you can never get to the end of the richness of the Word of God. And something that I would encourage you to check out and look into. And thank you, ladies, for coming and talking about how much this meant to you. They're from a sister church here, and just appreciate you being here.